This is Neijing Now, prioritizing well-being. Neijing is the vitality that shields us from disease. Neijing Now, demystifying medicine, cultivating resilience, empowering host resistance, prioritizing primary prevention. I'm Dr. Jayashree Chander. I welcome you to another short clip exploring Neijing Now.
Medical care has become unaffordable to most people in the United States. The prevalence of private illness insurance, commonly referred to as health insurance, has contributed to the spiraling inflation of the pricing of medical care. In an attempt to ensure access to medical care to the nearly 50 million people in the United States who are not covered by illness insurance, the government is proposing reforms to the healthcare system that would ensure that insurance companies cannot refuse coverage. That's good news. Simultaneously, the Affordable Care Act would mandate that individuals buy illness insurance. Although for those who have been denied illness insurance, this is a huge step towards access to medical care, it also does the disservice of handing over more control of the medical care system to private profit-motivated insurance companies. In this short clip, I speak with Dr. Andrew Brandeis, a clinician in San Francisco who doesn't believe in illness insurance, doesn't accept illness insurance in his practice, and doesn't buy illness insurance for himself.
Dr. Brandeis, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Can you tell me what it's like to be a doctor without health insurance?
I honestly never think about it. We don't accept insurance at our clinic here, care practice, and it just doesn't make sense for me to go and have my own health insurance for my personal needs when my professional life is so bound to that philosophy. We did away with insurance right from the beginning because it doesn't treat patients right and it doesn't treat doctors right.
Why doesn't it treat patients right and why doesn't it treat doctors right?
So, you know, I've had experiences where you're trying to get a patient's insurance to pay for a medication that you think is appropriate or pay for a lab that you think is appropriate or even pay for a diagnosis that you think is appropriate. It really limits the clinical judgment that I have when practicing medicine to have to practice to insurance, not practice to the patient. So I know how bad the system can be from a patient's perspective. And from a doctor's perspective, I have to do my job and then go ask someone else to pay me for it and justify my actions. And I don't know any other industry that really makes the professional do their job and then be at the scrutiny of somebody on the other end who's trying not to pay you. Insurance companies don't make money if they pay everything out. So you know that you're always battling someone for your paycheck. It makes no sense. As a professional, I wouldn't want to engage with that.
Right. Exactly. I've been saying it too. The insurance companies are squeezing the patients and the doctors from both ends.
Insurance companies don't produce anything, right? I mean, in any other industry, producers make money. And the two industries that have the biggest buildings in any city are banks and insurance companies. And they don't produce anything. So they get paid by making money off of other people's toils. I, as the doctor, do the hard work, and the insurance company gets paid for it. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem right. It's not fair. And I don't know any other industry other than banking that allows for such a thing. So I went to, you know, 4 years of undergraduate, 4 years of medical school or residency, and now I have to ask some guy at an insurance company for my paycheck.
Right. It's nonsense.
It's nonsense, to say the least. Yeah.
So you've decided that you're going to practice medicine without associating with an insurance company for your paycheck. But what about for your own health?
Insurance doesn't make any sense for me professionally, but it also doesn't make any sense for me personally. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin looking for health insurance. There are so many plans out there, and it's so complicated and so convoluted that I got bored and frustrated right off the bat. Second is, I wouldn't want to go see a doctor that I know is going to be in the position that I've been in so many times. I know that he or she would be miserable with their position. They wouldn't be getting paid adequately. I'd be paying some company who's a middleman, who's not producing anything or doing any of the work. I'd be paying them more money than the doctor's getting paid. And so to me, it doesn't make any sense. I want to go and pay someone for their service and value their service.
But what happens when you get some horrible, God forbid, horrible illness, or you get hit by the Mack truck, or knock on wood, hope none of this ever happens to you. But what happens when you land up in the hospital and you have a $50,000 or $80,000 bill? I mean, I have a friend who just had a kidney stone and has an $80,000 bill.
How do you have an $80,000 bill from a kidney stone?
Oh, the scans and they had to go in and take the stone out, and then there's part of it got left in, and this and that, right? Complications.
Yeah, there's a lot of good points here. The reason why a hospital can charge so much for a scan is because they'll get reimbursed so much for a scan. So then if I come in paying cash, they're going to charge me the same amount that they're charging insurance company, because legally you can't have two different pay scales, with a little bit of exception for just paying time of service. So there's other places that have agreed to work with us where you can pay cash and take the insurance company out of it, and then the true cost of the procedure shows through. So we can get an MRI for $150 or for $300. You can get the same MRI at a hospital that's accepting insurance for $3,000. So I don't want to contribute to this model where people are being ripped off and they're okay with it.
But what happens if you're hospitalized? You go to any of these hospitals around town, and one bed for one night is somewhere in the range of $1,500 to $1,800 per night. And that's before any treatment, before any IV, before any nursing care, before any medication. That's just the bed.
You're right. It's expensive. And, you know, my car insurance will cover bodily injury. So if I get into an accident when I'm in my car, there's insurance there. But at least with car insurance, first of all, you have to have it. And second of all, you know, it makes more sense. If you're if you're driving in a weapon that's going 60 miles an hour, bad things can happen, and that's kind of unnatural. But if you want to think about, like, just things that can happen on a daily basis, you know, like you get a kidney stone, like you mentioned before, cold, flu, or, you know, heart disease, I think about prevention. Let's go back to the car for a second. And if you know that anything in your car will be covered, any problem that happens with your car is going to be covered by your insurance, then would you be more or less inclined to get your oil changed regularly? What do you think?
It depends on who you are.
Okay. So I think, you know, some people would say, okay, well, I'm going to get my oil changed regularly because it's covered. But actually, when you ask people, more often than not, they're going to forget about it, because they know when their engine eventually falls out of their car, they're just going to get a new engine for free. They're not paying for it. So people are taking care of their cars better than they're taking care of themselves, because they know they're responsible for the cost, because insurance only covers you if you get into an accident, right? It doesn't cover the maintenance. And in medicine, kind of the opposite is true. People expect their insurance to take care of them when the engine eventually falls out of them. So I believe in preventive medicine. So I would rather work hard preventing cancer and heart disease and eating right and exercise and taking care of myself, because I'm responsible for my health. I don't have a mortgage on some doctor's life in a hospital somewhere who's got to take care of me when I eventually get heart disease.
You know plenty of people who did all the right things. They ate right, all organic, they wore their safety belts, they did everything, and then they end up with cancer. And they go through rounds and rounds of chemotherapy and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and it's a huge honking bill.
Yeah, and then it really begs the question, you know, where do you put your value? If you live a happy and healthy life and then develop cancer, do you want to go out gracefully, or do you want to go out after rounds and rounds of chemo and being sick, throwing up, nausea, vomiting? And I think personally, and maybe I'm naive when I say this, but I'd rather have quality over quantity. And I'd rather live a happy and healthy life. And then if I get to that point, maybe I'll feel differently about this in 40 years. But I think if I do a good job of preventing it, if something's going to happen, it's going to happen anyway. Do I want to extend my life by 3 or 4 years and have it be agonizing? Personally, I don't.
But some people have 10-year survival rates, or, you know, 20-year survival rates. I mean, you know.
But, I mean, let's look at prostate cancer. You know, a few years ago, they would recommend a radical prostatectomy. And now we're showing that actually doesn't improve mortality. If I had insurance and I was uneducated, I might have my prostate removed. But if I didn't have insurance, I wouldn't have that option. And fortunately, we know now that it's a radical procedure that doesn't improve mortality.
Well, I agree with you. I think much of what is recommended changes very frequently in Western medicine. It's not a time-tested tradition. It's a very new tradition of medicine, less than 500 years old. So things are constantly changing. We haven't really figured it out yet. And we also have the influence of insurance companies, pharmaceutical companies, biotech companies, influencing what kind of science gets done, what kind of results get published, which direction medicine goes. So I agree with you. Part of the reason that we have such spiraling healthcare costs is actually because of the existence of health insurance.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So let's look at consumer electronics, right? It's a free market. And 10 years ago, you had a $500 cell phone that weighed a couple pounds, and it was analog only, and you get 30 minutes a month for, I don't know, $100. And now we have little tiny computers in our hand that you could get for free, and it's all because of competition, right? Competition drives costs down. If I want to get my car fixed, I go on Yelp, and I find a mechanic who gives me the best price because they're competing for my business. If I break my arm, though, hospitals don't care. They're not competing for my business. I'm not even the customer. I'm not paying them. My insurance company would pay them. The hospital can charge whatever the insurance company will reimburse. So it's the complete opposite of a free market.
Well, what's even worse is the hospital will charge more than what the insurance company will reimburse because they know the insurance company will reimburse less than what they charge.
Right. And then what does that do to somebody who doesn't have insurance? They come in and now the price is artificially set higher. What they're doing is ensuring that everybody has to have insurance because there's no way you can pay for those costs. But those aren't the real costs. They're artificially inflated.
Well said. Very well said.
And I think the solution is more doctors like us at Care Practice turning down insurance and more people like me refusing to carry insurance because we're making a stand. We're saying, I don't buy it, so I'm not going to buy it.
Excellent. I don't buy it, so I'm not going to buy it. Well, now with the new Obama healthcare reform, we're going to be mandated to buy it.
We'll see when that happens.
All right. I really appreciate your bravado and I wish you the best of luck. And I thank you for your time.
Thanks so much, JC.
Great. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Dr. Andrew Brandeis, a licensed naturopath in San Francisco who doesn't buy it. I'd like to hear from you, too. Tell me about your experiences with illness insurance, access to medical care, and your opinion about the Affordable Care Act. You can comment on our website, www.neijingnow.org, and you can post on the Facebook page. Neijing Now wants to know from you.
I'm Dr. Jayashree Chander, creator of Neijing Now, a podcast about prioritizing well-being, on the web at neijingnow.org. Neijing Now is independent and entirely listener-supported. If you enjoyed the clip, please share it with your friends. Like us on Facebook and donate generously. Your support is essential to keeping Neijing Now alive.